Now, All Access with Cardinals manager Ollie Marmol. Sponsored by Window World. Simply the best for less. Siteman Cancer Center. National leaders in cancer. And by Circa Sports. Circa Sports. Sports betting the way it should be. On the voice of the Cardinals, KMOX.
It's great to be with you. It's a Tuesday. That means Bernie Miklas is alongside with Chris Ronji. I'm Tom Ackerman. We'll be joined by Cardinals manager Ollie Marmol as well. They are in Atlanta. Keep in mind, East Coast. So with the Eastern time zone, this is kind of the transit time for them. So we'll make sure that he's able to join us at some point, whether it's in the next couple minutes or as soon as he arrives at the ballpark. But they do have a game in about 6 hours. So they're starting to close in on getting over there and getting warmed up and getting ready for the ball game. Bernie Miklas, this is a team that just lost 2 out of 3 of the Marlins, but they did win on Sunday and they found a way. And I think that's kind of the hallmark of the team is when things aren't going particularly well, they seem to figure it out. And Kyle Leahy once again put him in position to win, and Brian Torres hit a home run, and lo and behold, the bullpen finished it off, and you got yourself a win, even though you can't put up a bunch of runs.
Yeah, and I thought it was important, especially before they were going out on the road, that they salvaged that and voided a sweep. But it's also true that, you know, the Cardinals have lost 4 of their last 5 series, and they've lost 10 out of their last 16. They've lost 7 out of their last 10. And I'm not trying to be negative. The point I'm trying to make is that the Cardinals still have a lot of those inherent qualities that we really, really appreciate about them. But there have been some trends that are taking them in the wrong direction. And starting in this series, where I think they're going to have an opportunity to score a lot of runs, this is a really good time for them to get back on track and reverse those trends in a more positive direction.
Absolutely. We're joined by the Cardinals manager now from Atlanta as the Cardinals get ready to take on the Braves. How are you, Ollie Marmol?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing great. I'm going to open up this time with a comment from the gallery, and this is from YouTube. Real Third Man says, Ollie, the fans don't care how you get there. 2024 Detroit Tigers were one game from the ALCS. He's right. Remember, in August, they were 10 games out of a playoff spot. They went on a tear. They ended up sweeping the Astros in the wild card series and almost knocked off the Guardians to get to that ALCS. So you just never know. Your thoughts on kind of where you are here with a hanging on to a playoff spot at the moment here on June 30th?
Hanging on. Interesting. Yeah, that's the last way we want to look at this is we're hanging on or we're just trying to hold on to what we've done in the first half. I think that could be the biggest mistake, especially just that mentality for a young group. You never get to where you want to get to by just clinging to what you've done in the past or just, man, if we can just hold on to this spot, I think that's a huge error. So we're going to continue to focus on the things that we've been focused on all the way through. And that's given opportunity, evaluating guys when those opportunities are given, continuing to grow in every area of the game. And the guys have done well with that. So yeah, I'm excited to see what our group does during this next stretch. It's a gauntlet of a schedule coming up with Milwaukee and Atlanta, and then Atlanta back at home, and you got Chicago. It'll be a lot of fun, but it's a great opportunity for our young group to get after it.
Ollie, 81 games in, 81 to go. I just wanted to get your state of the team address, if you will. what in the first 81 games did you really like about this team and the inherent qualities that you think will carry over? But number two, every manager looks at their team and says, well, we got to get better at this or that. What do you think? What would you like to see your team do a better job at realistically, if it's a realistic type of thing?
What I like most, I was actually having a conversation with a couple of our guys. Newt was a part of it, one-on-one. The way this group is coming together is better than almost any group I've been a part of. It's taken well, and that clubhouse is in such a good spot. And when I say that, sometimes you have a really strong group on the offensive side and the pitchers kind of do their thing. This group does a really nice job of just being together, all 26 of them, and even the guys that are up and down. So I like where we're at from a culture standpoint. I like where we're at from overall how we're attacking this together, the mentality behind that, and the group's ability to support one another regardless of what's going on. That's different than any year. So I like that, especially when you talk about building towards something, which is what we're doing. When you get that part right, that's really important. So I like where we're at there. Things I'd like to continue to get better at. Gosh, every area of the game, Bernie. I mean, from a base running standpoint, yeah, we're at the top of the league in being able to be aggressive and be smart when we're aggressive. We're in the top 3 to 5 in defense. But at the end of the day, like, there's still areas there where I feel like we can be smarter and pick our spots a little better. In certain areas, we can be more aggressive. Defensively, I have to give the group credit, man. They've done a nice job. I like where we're at there and some of the progress we're making. Even you look at Blaze at third, I think he's done a really nice job there. Mason has been phenomenal. And up the middle with JJ, I mean, I can't speak highly enough of our middle infield. Those guys are fun to watch. And Burley's done a nice job at first. So defensively, you look at where Jordan is compared to a year ago and the progress that we've made there. It's incredible. And then having Churchy and Newt out there. So defensively, I feel good about it. At the moment, when you look at games you feel really good about after 9 innings and games you don't, the top of a lineup is our strength, right? And we're creating opportunities at the bottom. And when the top's feeling good and sexy and driving in runs, then it's a great place to be. Right now, we're clawing for every run, and that's part of 162. But what I like about that is it feels different, and there's no way to describe it to you guys other than being in the clubhouse. But when you go through a stretch where you lose X amount of games out of 10 or whatever the case may be, you start to feel this doubt or like, man, we need to bounce back quickly and we need to kind of get to an off. That's not the case with this group. Like, they've done a really nice job of just attacking what's directly in front of them, and it just feels different when you go through stretches that aren't favorable. So if I can pinpoint, I've talked a lot, I'll let you guys keep asking questions, but if I can just like say one thing that I love about where we're at, it is the overall culture and mentality of this group. It's very strong.
You were talking about scratching and clawing to get runs lately, and that's kind of what's been going on last couple of weeks. The home run has sort of gone away completely. It was there in April. You were a top 6 or 7 team in homers early on. Why the difference between what was happening there and what's going on now? No, that's why
you'd be able to tell me.
No, I have no idea. So I have to ask you questions about baseball.
Yeah, no, I hear you, man. A big part of it is you're going to go through stretches where guys don't feel good. We're in the middle of one, and that's fine. What I like about Jordan was hitting a bunch of homers. Right now, he's not. And what I like is that he's still finding ways to contribute and take his singles the other way rather than a stretch where it's just nothing. And that's growth. Whether you like hearing it or not, I don't really care. That's growth. Like when someone is struggling, they can still find a way to downshift their swing and take their singles and kind of stay afloat from keeping their average where it needs to be, even if the slug isn't where it wants to be. I think that is a really good step in the right direction for someone like Jordan Walker. And the rest of the guys, man, like, are the homers going to come? They will. They're not there right now. But I do like the direction this is headed. I really do.
Your starter today is Matthew Liberatore. And I talked to Chaim Bloom about him on Sunday. And I said, Chaim, a lot of people will say, just put him in the bullpen. Just let him work in the bullpen. I said, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think if you put him in the bullpen, that means you're giving up on him as a starter. I mean, I said I'd think you'd put him in Memphis as a starter before you'd put him in the bullpen. And he said, you're right. He said, we haven't talked to him about Memphis, but he said, you know, we're going to let him work it out right now as a starting pitcher.
Yeah, I alluded to that our last time we got together, that when Chaim says no shortcuts and there's a plan in place, like, he means it. And this is part of it. Like, it's one thing to say that in spring training and everyone go, you know what? Yeah, that sounds good. Let's give these guys an opportunity. But now that holy cow, they're winning a little bit. They have a chance to make the playoffs. You want to veer from that. And that's when you truly need to be disciplined and stick to your word. And this is part of it. There's a plan in place. We've talked through every option and some that you haven't discussed, right? Like we've gone through that exercise and we have an idea of how we would like this to work out. But when it comes to Libby, man, yeah, he'll take that start tonight. And there's some things there from a usage standpoint, an execution standpoint that we're hoping to see him take the next step in order for this to go better for him. If you look at a lot of his outings, man, they're just bunching them up. It's just the 3+ runs in an inning. Like when it happens, man, it's like, it's a big number. And then he throws up zeros in those other ones. So we have to solve for that as well. So Dusty, I had a long conversation with him. He's head down trying to figure it out with him. But when Hines says we're going to give this guy a shot, like that's part of it.
Holly, I wanted to follow up on Ron's question about the power. You know, Busch Stadium's never been hitter friendly, but you know, it's been unusually harsh this year so far for hitters, power hitters. The good news is that helps your pitchers out. It really does. But your hitters, like, I'll just give you one stat, you know, like this year's slugging percentage. You guys are ranked 7th in the majors on the road in slugging, but at home you're 27th. It's those alleys in left and right center, man. They're mean to your hitters. They're friendly to your own pitchers, but they're mean to your hitters. But what do you do if you sense maybe your guys are getting frustrated because they'll murder a pitch and then it just dies out there, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
What do you talk about when it does get frustrating? Because I think the ballpark has been a factor.
It has. And ask Goldie and Nato and Ozuna and all these other guys that have played in other spots, man. Like, but it does a couple things. Like, yes, it's frustrating when you hit a ball and you think it should go and it gets caught in the track. But what people don't talk about is the residual of that. Because what ends up happening, rather than being 1-for-3 with a homer and a walk, you're 0-for, and you show up the next day and you might have early work because you're like, man, I went 0-for. I need to get more work and I need to fix this. And you end up taxing your body beyond what it needs. Where if you're here in Atlanta, that ball goes and you're 1-for-3 with a homer, you feel good. You may show up a little later the next day, let your body rest because you're feeling good mentally and physically about where your swing's at. So you got to just continue to remind these guys that that's part of playing at Busch. And sometimes that extra work is not needed. Like your swing is actually in a good spot. It's Busch, right? And the guys joke around when someone from another team, the visiting team, hits one and they kind of stand up on it. They think it's out and we catch it. They just yell at them like, hey, you're at Busch, baby. Like that's not going here because we're used to it. But you have to remind the guys that sometimes, like, hey, you don't need that extra work. You don't need those extra swings. Like, take care of your body. You're in a good spot. Just that's part of playing for the Cardinals. Like, pitchers are going to benefit from it. Hitters are not. When you go on the road, you try to make up for it. But I think our young group actually has a little bit of fun in knowing that's part of playing at Busch. And that's why playing fast, taking your singles, like the way we're playing the game, like when the homers come, absolutely, we'll take them. But you have to still find ways to play the game and find different ways to win, knowing that. I think you can use it to an advantage at times.
Great answer, man.
Yeah, heck yeah, it is.
So, no, it was great.
So you mentioned Walker earlier. You just
and
mentioned.
I'll add one thing, Chris, because you say great answer, but my answer probably 3 years ago, like I gave in to the fact, like, damn, like, you got to be able to slug. You got to be able to, and in our park, you have to find different ways to win and use it as an advantage. And I don't think I've always thought of it that way, to be quite honest with you. All right, go ahead, Chris. Sorry.
Yeah, when you were talking about Jordan Walker earlier, we were talking about the home runs disappearing, and you know, you just a moment ago mentioned the mental side of this. And that was a thing we focused on early with him in particular. So where is he now? Where is he in terms of his mentality now that he's going through a period that's not as good as it was in April?
He's learning to not try and – best way to word this, don't cling to what – and this is to the first question when we opened up the show. You can't hold on to, man, I did really well, and now I just have to hold on to that for a little bit longer. Like, great players don't do that. Like, they're constantly looking for what's next, man. Like, what's next? And I feel like he's turning the corner there, where he is not afraid to try what's next in order to get to that next level in his career. We've seen him do it defensively. We've seen ups and downs this year where, man, he goes on a little bit of a skid and then he finds a way out of it. It's just part of it. This is an important year for him to learn that. Like, yes, we want to see homers and we want to see him hit 300 and have a 950 OPS. But guess what, man? One of the things that he might take the most out of this season is understanding how to struggle without losing confidence. And if Jordan Walker can get on the other side of that, he's a beast of a player. But he has to learn what that feels like. And the only way you learn how that, what that feels like, is to actually go through it and struggle through it and then see yourself on the other side of it. So this is part of it. And we can't get it. What we can't do is be on this emotional roller coaster of just like, this is part of development. This exact moment for Jordan Walker is part of development. And that's why I say, yeah, the homers aren't there, but he's starting to learn how to take his singles and stay afloat. Man, that's a step in the right direction rather than just spiraling and not having that. So I'm encouraged by what we're seeing. Hopefully he gets out of it and starts slugging and starting to feel better about his swing. But I like this exact moment he's in and what he can learn from it.
That's Ollie Marmol, Cardinals manager, always with us on Tuesdays, the Gas House Gang on KMOX. We love these visits with Ollie Marmol. We know you do too. Cardinals manager with us on the Gas House Gang with Bernie Miklas, Chris Ranji. I'm Tom Ackerman. Ollie joining us from Atlanta, Cardinals and Braves tonight, 6:15, right here on KMOX. Joseph has asked this two different ways, so I'm going to put it out there on Ivan Herrera. He's looking for more RBI opportunities for Ivan, so he's wondering if he should switch with Nootbaar in the lineup. Your thoughts on that?
That puts three lefties in a row if you keep Burley in the three, which I'd like to do, and Walker in the four. So you have JJ, Newt, and Burley. That means they'll lose an at-bat every game left on left, which is not favorable to any all three of those guys. So you have to be able to break up that lefty lane somehow, and doing it with Ivan and on the other side of Burley, Walker probably gives each one of those the matchup necessary throughout the game. So Newt moving up is, I understand the logic behind it, and he's a guy that he'll walk a lot and get on base for Ivan behind him. But it'll create a really easy lane for the opposition there. Yeah.
Ollie, when you look at, I don't know how to phrase this, and it's nothing nasty, but it's like you guys talk so much. You did off season, spring training, about you thought this team could do some things, that this team was going to be successful. And again, I'm hung up on the 81 game thing, you know, kind of splitting the season in two.
Yeah.
What satisfaction do you draw from, you know, in effect being correct? I mean, everyone's like, oh, the Cardinals are such a great surprise. And you are, even with a little bit of a downturn, you still have the eighth best winning percentage in the majors right now. My point is, did you ever see your team as a surprise, or is this the team you thought they would be to this point?
This is pretty close to the team we thought we would be internally when it came to just, if we execute, if we stay healthy, if certain guys take that next step in their careers, then this is what's possible. If not, then it's going to be a struggle and we got to fight our way through it and still evaluate along the way to make sure we understand internally what we have and what we don't have. But a big part of this is Jordan Walker taking that next step. Like, it just is, right? Like, you look at our offense and you look what him and Burley have done. JJ's been really good. And as advertised, like, this is what we thought we would get. His defense at second base has been spectacular. So that's been better than we anticipated, in my opinion. But Walk doing what he's doing has been a big part of this. So, this is close to what we had in mind. Now none of that matters. Like, you just got to keep working. You got to continue to get better. And all these guys need to continue to take that next step in their careers for this to go well. So that's what we're focused on more than anything. So it's not a matter of being right or wrong. It's just there's a lot of work to be done, and we got to keep going.
The results for Weatherholt have been really good, and they have kind of gotten better. I mean, I think he dipped a little bit in May, but June has been really, really strong for him in terms of us even talking about him maybe deserving to be an all-star. So from the beginning of the season, and it's only been 3 months, what have you seen in terms of his growth? And I'm talking about just outside the numbers.
We had that, gosh, Bernie, you asked a couple questions on the topic, like, man, he's being pitched different. He's kind of getting exposed a little bit up top when he was kind of sliding underneath the ball and had that little stint where he was struggling, JJ was. I think he's learned to make adjustments really quickly. And what allows for that is just how steady he is mentally. You talk about not riding an emotional roller coaster. This guy is just flatlined the whole way through. There is no ups. There's no downs. He understands who he is as a person on and off the field. And he is not, you can't shake him. You just can't. And that allows for development. You can collapse time when it comes to development when you have that type of mentality, because there is no panic. He can be honest with, here's what I'm doing well, here's what I'm not doing well, here's how I'm going to fix it. And there's no panic to if it takes a week, if it takes 2 weeks, if it takes 3 weeks. Like, he's very steady in how he approaches all of that. So I've been more impressed with his mentality than anything. His skill set speaks for itself, man. The kid can hit, he can play defense. I'm more impressed with, at his age, level of experience, his ability to just never panic. He's done a really nice job.
Ali, I love talking to you about this kind of stuff, this mental aspect of the game. This is such a big part of sports and really of life. And Jenny puts this out there as well in saying that she's a counselor, maintaining the mental game and whatever life throws at you. Can you speak to that aspect of this within the Cardinals organization and what that looks like as a whole? Ask Jenny. And Ali, you can hear it. I mean, you've talked about this in almost every answer about how to maintain that mental game.
One of the things we talked about in spring training quite a bit, we set aside a full day for this actually, is two different topics. One, what does it look like to truly have each other's backs? I think every team says that at some point, whether it's in spring training or during the season, that we have to come together as a group and have each other's back. But what does that look like when things aren't going well? It's easy when things are going well. What does that truly look like when things start to get sideways? And we spent the full day on that. But then the way I worded it to the group is, I think one of the biggest silent killers in our game is isolation. It's when a player's not doing well, they tend to isolate themselves. They sit at their locker alone way more often. And when you do that, you start to believe the lies of, do I truly belong in the big leagues? Am I contributing to this group? Do they want me here? Like, you just start to go down this really, really dark road of, do I belong here? And I think it's one of the biggest killers when it comes to getting the most out of a player. So one thing we spent a lot of time on is we need to be able to identify that as a group, as a staff, as early as possible. And players need to be able to come alongside of each other way sooner in that process to make sure that no one goes there. And that's a real thing. It's not talked about a ton, but it is a game changer when it comes to getting yourself out of that spot mentally. And we can talk about driving in runs. We can talk about XFIP. We can talk every metric you want. At the end of the day, when you sit at your locker and you believe that you are a big leaguer and you belong at the big league level, and when you look to the side, you can tell that the guys in that clubhouse also want you there, that speaks volumes. And the more we can normalize that in a clubhouse, that's a big, big deal.
Ali, I wanted to ask you about Nolan Gorman. I'm going to bring back the tradition of asking about Nolan Gorman. But no, all kidding aside, is you guys care deeply about him, even though he's in Memphis. And I know you stay in touch with your people. How's he doing? I mean, I know he handled it really well, but how's he doing now that he's back on the field?
He's doing better. And I won't speak to the actual physical, mentally he's in a better spot, man. There's a lot of conversations leading into him getting back into games. There's There's some stuff on field, off field that we were able to talk through in order to get him into a better spot. But he's one of the ones that came to mind when I talk about isolation. Like, right, you're punching out at a 40% clip and you're sitting there going, man, do I belong? Do they want me here? And you have to be able to speak into that as much as possible to allow him the best shot to have success. And once you get to a point where you feel like the move is, let's go get this right in AAA, that constant communication with our staff, it is important, because it's easy when you get sent down and when you go on the IL, those are the two times where you feel forgotten. That's just the reality of it. And at some point, man, we're going to need him to come back up and be a guy that can drive and runs and hit homers. And we have to at least put ourselves through communication in the best position to allow him to do that. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But you have to exhaust all those options and make sure that communication isn't a part of where it failed.
Speaking of guys on the big league staff here, bringing it back this way, Mason Winn, offensively, I mean, defensively, he's been strong the entire time he has been here. He's been hitting for average a little bit better in this month. But as you watch his game and watch him offensively, what are you seeing from him in terms of his growth?
I like what he's doing. So Brownie sits right behind me during our offensive side of the innings. And so the players that are coming up to go on deck, I can hear every conversation that they're having. And I'm encouraged by what I'm hearing with Mason every day, because it's more of a commitment. You saw him fly out to right field a couple times his last game and then finally shoots one in the four hole. All he was committed to that game was like, man, I really want to take today and just try to pepper that four hole right field type of lane. And he got under the first two, and you can sit there and be like, damn, like 0 for 2. I'm just going to try to get mine right. Like, no, he stayed committed. His third at bat, he shoots a perfect line drive the other way. And it's like, perfect. Like, those are those little moments that you're looking for, because when he gets rewarded for sticking to a plan and executing on it, like he fully commits to it. So I'm encouraged by what he's trying to do. And I think we're going to see a little bit of that average kind of tick up. And when he's committed that way, man, he can do so many other things. But I believe it's easier for him to slug and drive the ball when he's committed to the big part of the field.
Ollie Marmol, Cardinals manager, with us every Tuesday on the Gas House Gang. Ollie, you're not kidding. This is a fun week. I mean, you got the Braves and the Cubs at Wrigley Field weekend for the 4th of July. You're going to have Cardinals fans up there on the north side. It's going to be awesome.
But then we come back and we have five against those other guys across the way, you know, which will be a good time. And Atlanta coming back. I mean, this will be it's a gauntlet of a schedule, but that's what makes it fun. Like, you have a chance to actually go out there and take your best shot every day. And I'll tell you what, that group in the clubhouse is excited for it. It'll be a tough couple weeks, but we'll see how we come out of it.
Yeah, that's why you're here, right? I mean, looking forward to it, really, really looking forward to it. Thank you for the time. Appreciate you. Have a great night tonight.
Thanks. All right, appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Cardinals manager Ollie Marmol with us on KMOX's Gas House Gang. We'll take a break. We'll discuss what we heard and take more of your questions and comments. Back on the Gas House Gang, this one-hour show doesn't feel like enough, but I think that's part of the formula. I think that's the secret why this show does so well. We pack it all into 1 hour. It fits perfectly as a podcast. I want to mention that a lot of people are listening to this show as a podcast, and I appreciate it. We're getting emails and texts from people all over the place that say that they're taking this show in as a podcast, which is a great idea. So you can just take it wherever, whenever you need it. It really works, though, before the game. I think after today's game, it wouldn't be as much because we're previewing today's game. But we're talking about the team as a whole, so it does work pretty much anywhere. Glad you're with us live, though, if you are. Bernie, what'd you take from Ollie? I thought he was very insightful today, very deep in his thought.
He was very expansive. What struck me really was he's in a great mood. I mean, I think that this guy loves his team. He loves to compete. He likes where they are. He doesn't get discouraged when they hit a rut. They're on the road. They know he knows it's an important time. You know, three in Atlanta, three in Chicago. You come home to play Milwaukee for five. Then the Braves come in. But he's really digging it. I mean, he is fired up. And it's because I believe he's got such faith in his team. So his going into what is, I think, a really critical or crucial, at least stretch for them before the All-Star break, I think he's in a great frame of mind going in. So that was nice to see. But I appreciated how thoughtful his answers were today.
Yeah, you know, I agree. And he should be. I think he should feel good about where they are because, as maybe, I think it was Tom, you and I talked about this yesterday, they're kind of, as a team this year, playing with a little house money because they're not supposed to be good right now. They're not supposed to be good in 26. So anything they do here is gravy. If they make a playoff run, if they get themselves, you know, into a wild card or something at the end of the year, or even if they just miss out, that's a good year for them because it's really all about establishing some of the younger players, getting them playing time and seeing where they go from there. But here's the other thing about him and the way he talks. Again, I'm not in the clubhouse. None of us are there when the media is not allowed to be in there. But I gather from him with the way he talks about his team that he does do the one thing I think is the most important job of a manager, and that is to create a good environment. And we had a couple of comments of people watching or from people watching on YouTube or Facebook or Twitter who said that he's putting together a healthy clubhouse, a healthy mental clubhouse. And I got to tell you, that may be one of the most important things you can do, if not the most, as a baseball manager, because you play every single day. It's not really an X's and O's game. Which pitching change am I going to make? Who am I going to put in the lineup? What order am I going to put this lineup in? Yeah, that stuff matters, but I don't think it matters as much as how do you handle the personalities in your clubhouse. And he seems to do that really well. That's not to say everybody loves him to 100%, but it does seem like he at least understands how you should approach a modern baseball player and try to get them in the right mindset so they can perform better. To me, again, that's the read I have from the outside.
I think from what I know, he does a really good job when things are tough, and he does a really good job if he senses, and he's got a great instinct for sensing things. He senses that a player's frustrated. A player might even be ticked off at him about something. It's an emotional game. These guys pour everything into it. Every one of those players knows they can go into his office and talk to him about anything. They can go in and tell him, you know, Skip, I kind of don't like this, man. I want to talk to you about it. And he embraces that, and that's one of the reasons why those guys are so loyal to them. He's not defensive. He's not a guy that, like, takes it personally, like, because he's insecure, you know, that one of his players might, for about 15 minutes, not be kind of be upset with him about something, which happens all the time. They like the fact that it's an open door, and he really means it. The Cardinals have had some managers. Well, they've had one manager in particular who would always say to the players, hey, my door's open. You come in. And then when they would come in and be candid, he would just shut down. Ali, total opposite, man. And I think that is why one of the reasons, Ron, they have such a healthy clubhouse.
I agree. And, you know, he was good with the veterans, too. I think that he was good with the established guys. He's actually made himself into this manager who develops, and that's really great because that is the job that it calls for right now. But he was good. Remember, he's the guy who talks Albert Pujols out of retirement. Yep. I mean, Pujols confided in him and said, I'm done. When we go back home, and they were in Atlanta, he said, when we go home, I'm done. And he said, oh no, big boy. And he talked it over with him, and he talked him out of it. And he knew how to read human beings. He's done it with us. I mean, he's talked to us on the side about, you know, this show. Remember, this was partly his idea. He's just good with people, is my point. I think he always has been. And then, you know, to the point, we'll take a break after this, but this comment where, you know, commit, this is what this season is to me. And sometimes there is some pain to it, but I like this comment here. Commit to a plan. Next step, offensive development will be adapting during the game. Commit, Bernie, gain confidence, take what they give you. We'll see how this goes for them, but the Cardinals do have that task here because pitchers, as we saw with the Marlins, have now shown them something different. So the Cardinals are going to have to review and adjust moving forward.
They have the coaching staff to help them adjust. I think it's a smart team. I really think the players do a good job on their own. I think the younger guys have matured already. I think generally speaking, listen, man, there's going to be bad games here and there. But I really believe the quality of their at-bats this year have been good. And, you know, I hate to keep harping on this, but, man, you really see it on the road. Great at-bats because they're free and easy, and they know that if they swing at the right pitch, get a good swing on the ball, you know, they'll have something to show for it. And that, I think, a big challenge, and I'm so glad Ollie talked about this openly, a big challenge is going to be if the ballpark continues to play tough for the Cardinals hitters, that they still have to just maintain those good habits and not get frustrated. And you can tell that he's pouring that into them. I'm glad I asked that question because he's clearly talked to them about that situation. And I think that can only help their mindset, right? Not to get too frustrated. Don't beat yourself up. The ballpark has always been tough. It's been tough on some of the greatest hitters of this generation, you know? So don't get down on yourself.
Now back to the Gas House Gang.
Sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling. And by Overhead Door Company of St. Louis. Chesterfield Fence and Deck. And Budweiser.
On 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Always fun to go through the comments with Bernie Miklas, Chris Ranji. I'm Tom Ackerman. We've only a few minutes left. STL Girl 74 always chiming in, but I think maybe missed what I said to Ollie, saying I hope Bloom decides to move Libby to the bullpen if he tanks again tonight. Bernie, I don't think he's going to the bullpen. I mean, if anything, he's going to Memphis if they feel like he needs some work as a starter there.
Yeah, and I don't know what the wouldn't does it get to the point where they say, okay, that's it.
Right.
You know, I don't have a sense of that. I mean, do they do it before the All-Star break or do they wait? They let him clear his head during the All-Star break? I don't know. But they're determined to stay with him, but there's going to be a limit at some point.
Joseph says, I know Bernie feels like they'll sell, but what we have may not make a dent. However, if we deal a catcher, the Yankees might pony up. I mean, if we see any currency in this Cardinals organization, it is catcher, Bernie. They got a lot of them.
It's unbelievable. And, they have Ryan Campos. No one talks about him. I think he's at AA. And they have a young kid that's rising through the ranks already, like another teenager. There's a buzz about him. I mean, it's amazing how many catchers they have. Well, really is.
Yeah, and this is a much better. You know, when they used to have too many outfielders, now you have too many catchers.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. What do you think of Mason Molina? Asks David Lauderdale. I'll tell you what, I always ask that there's one minor league instructor that I ask every year, give me somebody to watch. And the first name out of his mouth is Mason Molina. And this guy, he's big, he's lefty, he is a strikeout pitcher, Bernie Miklas.
Listen, he got promoted to Memphis, but before that he was pitching. It was his first year pitching at AA. The Texas League is a notorious hitter playground where they just go nuts and they put up huge numbers. Pitchers suffer. He pitched 69 innings. He struck out 82. He only allowed 5 home runs. He had a low walk rate. A lot of swing and miss. I mean, and he's like a big burly guy and he just looks the part. And think about this trade, Phil Maton for him. Think about that.
Yeah.
Right.
No kidding.
Molina is, I don't know whether to say fast track, but them moving him up to Memphis is actually a really big deal.
It is indeed. And they have some pitchers coming.
Did we go through a full show here without mentioning Joshua Baez at all?
Not until just now.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Couldn't let that go.
We got a Baez mention in there. Hey, great to visit with you guys. Enjoyed it very much. We'll be back for another one tomorrow. The Gas House Gang on KMOX will air at noon. Chris Ranji and I will be back. Who knows who we're going to bring into that conversation. Let's see what happens tonight as the Cardinals take on the Braves.